It was a good day for the race, wasn't it? The human race. Oh, gotcha. I was waiting for somebody to say what race, and I heard three or four of you. Yeah. It's just a joke I like to do every now and again. It's corny, I know. If you have a Bible, find Galatians chapter 3. My wife and I went down to IKEA this afternoon. It was a quick drive down there, quick drive back. We were able to eat lunch and get what we needed. And Ann and Dave watched our children for us. She volunteered. So that was daring. But one of the things you notice when you go into the big city like that and a big store like IKEA, you start seeing people that are a little bit different than you, right? When you go around Fenton, almost everybody looks like us. You go down there, we saw Indian folks from India with their very colorful clothing, don't they? The one lady had this great big yellow and gold dress on with this big sash, and her husband had it look like it was pink or magenta or something, I don't know, maybe because men don't wear pink, I guess, but it was magenta, and it was very ornate, like a man dress or something like that. And then we saw people from Saudi Arabia or something like that with their black clothes, and we saw just people from all over this world, and that just leads me into what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about one of the, what I call the big three. When you turn on the news right now, there's three big points that are constantly being talked about. Abortion, right? Especially with all this Planned Parenthood nonsense and that's going on. The other one is homosexuality with the Supreme Court thing. And then the third one is race. Just constantly. It's like we're bombarded with this racism talk and being politically correct and this person's a bigot and that person's a prejudice and all these different things. Well, a couple weeks ago in youth group on Wednesday night, I decided I wanted to talk to the students a little bit about race, and I thought maybe we should do that in big church, okay? So in Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to see what the Bible says about race. Galatians 3, we're going to start in verse 26. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Isn't that beautiful? Is there any division there? It's unity, right? "We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, God, because of Christ, has broken down every wall. What walls do we see in those verses? We see male and female. That's gender equality, right? In God's eyes, if you're a born-again believer, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, okay? Now, granted, men and women have God-given different roles in marriage and the home and other things. That doesn't mean one is more important than the other, okay? God's broke all that down. Now think about the ancient Greek and Roman culture. What were women in those days? I thought you mouthed it. Property? Basically property. Had hardly any rights. They couldn't really go out and get jobs. In fact, if they weren't married or their husband died, they would have to become slaves or prostitutes in order to get by, or beggars. Now, Jewish law had ways around that, didn't they? A relative had to come marry that lady so that there could be she could be taken care of, and there could be offspring to inherit the property. But the Gentile cultures, nothing. Women were horribly mistreated. And when Christ came and gave us the gift of salvation, that wall broken down. What's the next wall there? I'm not even doing these in order. I'm doing them backward. Economic. This says slave or free. Now, when I went over this with the students, I had a whiteboard and I was writing all this on the board, so it made a little bit more sense. We could see it. But it's an economic barrier, right? What's the two things that are listed? Slave and free. So in our day and age, it would be like, free would be like the rich person, and the slave would be the common man, the ordinary person, most of us. Okay, in some cultures, you can still go places, right? And there is a major division between the rich and the poor. The rich live in some fancy mansion, house on the hill, and the poor are living in these cardboard shacks. God says in Christ, none of that matters. And then the last one that we're talking about is color, or what our country and the media likes to refer to as race, nationality. It says there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Now some might say, well, that's talking about religion. It's more in the context, I believe it's more talking about the color, the culture. We are all part of God's family now. And that means the blood running through our veins, which is from our family, right? It doesn't really matter because we've been bought by the blood of Christ. Okay? Look around at each other. You're allowed to do that. Normally, I don't want you to be looking around, you know, goofing off during the sermon, passing notes and things like that. But look around. We are all from different backgrounds. We all are different ages. Okay? Anybody here in their 90s? 80s? 70s? 60s? 50s? Okay? 40s? One? Okay. And am I the only one in the 30s? And my wife's 29. A legitimate 29, not what some people say, they're 29 forever. No, she's 29. We're all different backgrounds, we're all different ages. And then if we really stop and think, we all have different experiences. All different experiences. Yet, these verses say, we're all God's children. We've all been purchased by Christ's blood. And God has placed us in a new family, God's family, a community of faith. And I'll tell you why this all happened, but we're going to have to turn back to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Hey, Tom, what's Genesis 1:1? Go ahead, say it. Tommy. Good job, buddy. We're not in verse 1. We're actually in verse 24. Verse 24. Genesis 1:24. It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God did what? Bless them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, there's a lot of important concepts here, and I've preached on this verse and from various angles in the past, but the biggest idea here that we need to know is that people, humans, have been created in the image of God. We've been made in the image of God. Now, that means we are set apart. We are different than all of the rest of creation. And I think everyone intrinsically knows this, don't we? We know we're different. My family is my wife, Andrea, my sons, Tommy, Waylon, and Charlton, and my daughters, Evelyn. Sometimes we get in discussions about what activities we would like to do. Do you recall that when your children were young? One of them would like to go to the zoo. One of them would like to go ride a pony. One would like a train ride. My two boys right now are on this kick. They want to go to Legoland. And we said, we'll start saving your pennies. So they do. They start saving their pennies. They want to do all these things. But we have to get together and we have to decide, well, what's in the budget? What activities can we do? Now, I'm sure you've had similar discussions in the past, but if the budget ever gets super tight, is there ever discussion of getting rid of a child? Some of you laugh. Maybe you did have that in your house. I don't know. Me and my kids, we've actually been joking about that lately. You'll probably laugh at me, but I've even said, well, which one of you should we sell? And Evelyn says Waylon, Tommy says Waylon, Waylon says Charlton, you know, it's this back and forth thing. And so I'll ask, well, how much money do you think we can get? Well, you know, $5 and all these real low numbers, but those are never on the table. That's not really a discussion. None of our family is on the chopping block. Because they're highly valuable. Now let's shift over just a little bit. What about my brother Luke with Down syndrome? Okay, he can't really communicate that well. He's going to be living off government disability for the rest of his life. He will never hold a job. Right? He's not going to be this contributing member of society. Even so, Luke is still valuable because he's been made in the image of God. What's the name of that horse that just won the third one, first in like 30 years? American Pharoah. Luke is more valuable than American Pharoah. What about Cecil the lion? Yeah, we're more valuable than Cecil because we are made in the image of God. Now, there's other places that we could take notice that we are different than animals. And a lot of times when I start getting into this discussion, people are like, no, I love my dog. Don't bash my dog. You know, he has a personality. Okay, do animals pray? No. Whoever answered that, thank you. I know you're going to bring up YouTube and there's some dog with his paws crossed, like whining or something, and we're going to say, yeah, dogs pray. They don't pray, okay? Does your cat ever stay up late at night worrying about whether or not her kittens will go off and serve the Lord? No. No other created being has a relationship with the Lord. No other created being even has the ability to have a relationship like we do. We stand alone in the image of God. Now, I know this is horribly politically incorrect, but this means that all lives matter. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how small you are. Okay, this isn't even in my notes, but you know this argument that, you know, we can kill and abort babies because, well, they're just so small. They look like a bean. This is one of the things I heard this person saying. Well, if you can't even identify it as a human, it just looks like a bean. What does it I tried to explain this way. Size doesn't matter. Shaquille O'Neal, everybody kind of know who that is? A 7 foot tall, 40-pound black basketball player. Very large man. Now, Waylon is about, what, 3.5 feet tall? Is Shaquille O'Neal more of a human than Waylon? No. Size does not matter. Age does not matter. We're all made in the image of God. We stand alone. All lives matter. Black, white, young, old, deformed, we are all actually related. Did you know that? Acts chapter 17, I'll just flip there if you want to, you can. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. I had never really noticed this verse before. It says, "He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and their boundaries of their dwellings." That first half is what we're looking at. He, God, made from one blood, from one man, from one couple, every nation of men on the earth. Now, when you look up that word nation in Greek, the word is ethnos. Well, we get the word ethnic, okay, ethnic group. From one couple, God has made all people. Okay? Some people, when you start talking like that, what do they wonder? Well, what color was Adam? What color was Eve? I don't know. I don't even think it really matters that much. But all people came from him. And when we start talking about race, according to the Bible, there's really no such thing. There's no such thing. Now, I've told this story before, but back in 2008 or 2009, when I was ordained. How many were here for that ordination? Several of you. And there was, what, like 12 or 14 pastors up here. And they're asking me all these questions. And one guy that a lot of you were getting irritated with because he kept asking me all these questions, one of his questions was, how many races are there? And I was stumped. I didn't know how to say. And our good friend that many of you know, Pastor Brett Boomsma, he was sitting in the second row doing this. And he's trying to get my attention, like, because I was stumped. I didn't know what to say. And then I saw him, one race. Of course, there's one race, the human race. Okay? And if that's true, and that's what the Bible teaches, that we are all brothers and sisters, what does that mean? And by the way, that's just not in the Bible. You can go read secular molecular biologists that say we're all basically brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter where you go on planet Earth. We're all brothers and sisters. That means that the color of our skin should not be our main identity. Our main identity should be that of humanity. And if you're a born-again believer, that should be next. Humanity and Christianity. Color of skin doesn't really matter. What color am I? Easy question. White, okay. Do you know why I'm white, Tom? It's easy. Because my mom and dad were white. My grandparents were all white, okay. Should I feel guilty or apologize for the way that God made me? No. Okay? Question. Do you have any blood relatives that just drive you up the wall? Yeah, nods, laughter. No, none of them do, right? Yeah. Do you have any children that drive you up the wall? Even if they're sitting beside you, that's okay? Here's the point with me asking that. If we are driven up the wall by blood relatives, what do you think might happen if people brought people, if God brings people from all over the earth together? We're probably going to get irritated with one another. Sparks might fly. But we should never lean on those differences, because our main identity is humanity, and if we're children of God, it's Christianity. Our main identity should never be race, should never be our color, And why do I say that? Because who is the gospel for, folks? The whole world. Any verses to back that up? Yeah, that's a good one. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, right? What about, I believe it's 2 Peter 3. It said, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but he is not willing that any should perish. That means people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. People from all over the world. The gospel is for the whole world. So what do we do with this racial mess that the media and the world keeps just trying to pour on us and force on us, when we have the Bible that teaches there's one race? Well, number one, pray. I think that's the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because we're in the tail end of this prayer series. It's going to take a lot of prayer. You know, every time that you hear the word race or racism on news, on the TV, or on the radio, say a prayer. Lord, break down those barriers. Break down those walls. Continue to work. Maybe step out on a limb and say, Lord, introduce me to somebody else with a different color skin so I can share them the gospel with them. Well, that'd be a little scary, wouldn't it? Pray. Number two is always stand up for the word of God. I give you permission to use my human race joke wherever you want. Always stand up for the word of God. There's one race. And you can write that down, Galatians 3:28. I think that's one of, in today's day and age, that's one of those verses that I think we should all put to memory. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, a slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ. We have a little bit extra time tonight. Is there any questions or comments? If you have a disagreement, you can go ahead and go home. I'm kidding. Questions, comments, anything. Jeannie.
I have a question. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image. Was he talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. When it says R, R is capitalized, that would be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are sort of conversing together, saying, let's make man in our image. Correct. Yep. Now, a lot of people over the years, Jewish people, they say in Deuteronomy, is it Deuteronomy 4 or Deuteronomy 6, where it says, the Lord our God is one? They call us Trinitarians, and they say we're heretics. They say there's only one God, and we say there's one God and three persons. But yet, if they look closely at even their Bible that Moses wrote, it teaches a Trinity right here in that verse. Yep. Andrea. Well, we can actually talk about that next week a little bit, but I'll just answer that. Andrea was saying that somebody was arguing on the internet that you're not really a full human being until you take your first breath. A couple verses that make that very obvious is it's one in Psalm that David said, in sin my mother did conceive me. That means you're guilty from sin, for sin, from the moment of conception. Then also, Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah 1, and also John the Baptist. Both of those guys, before they were even born, God chose them while they were in their womb to be prophets, which is very interesting, and that can open up a theological can of worms, but both of those guys. So if they weren't non-human, if they were just tissue or whatever, I don't know how God could even choose them while they were still in the womb. And then I've preached on this before in Exodus, in the Old Testament law, there's this scenario of two men fighting. And if, you know, one gouges out the other's eye, he would have to pay back for that eye. Well, then the scenario continues. If a woman was walking by who was pregnant and they bump into her and she miscarriages, it says they were guilty of murder. So that's actually one of the key verses on that argument. So, well, it's still receiving oxygen through the blood. Mm-hmm. That's an even more basic principle. Yeah, Tom. Yeah. Yep, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but people are inconsistent. Mark. Yeah, that is very true. That's another great thought to bring up. Yeah. Any other questions, comments? Tom. Trick question. I don't know. I'm glad I wasn't asked that at my ordination. Okay. I'm glad we weren't passing around the mic tonight. You want that joke book back that you gave me? Is there anything else? Join. What about interracial marriages? I think by and large that's a cultural issue. Biblically, I don't think you can find anything wrong with it if they're born again believers. You know, the only prohibit that I can see would be an unbeliever to a believer. I don't see anything else. Culturally, it's probably going to raise some questions. I know we had discussions in Bible class on that years ago, but I don't think you could prohibit it from a biblical point of view unless somebody thinks of something I've not think of. Did you hear her question? What about interracial marriages? Correct. There's only one race. Mm-hmm. So the only issue would be cultural. There's no biblical issue. In fact, even from a scientific point of view, there is no problem with reproduction, no matter what part of the globe a human comes from. Mark. Thank you. Right, yeah, and that's basically what I was saying. But Mark has a whole video from Ken Ham, if you want to borrow it. One Blood, I think it's called. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. Anything else?
What about gender identification?
Gender identification?
And this book about a 13-year-old child identifying as what it wants to instead of what it's born as or something.
Well, I think you are what you are, regardless of what you identify yourself as. I could say I was a woman if I wanted to. Does that make me a woman? No. I am who I am, what God made me. I am what God made me.
You can explain Matthew 22:30. Jesus is saying, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven."
I don't think angels are marrying each other in heaven. I don't think gender is the point of that verse. I think the point of that verse is we're just not going to be married in heaven. And that is a big difference between us and, say, Islam, who is primarily a religion based upon heavenly sex. I guess I can't think of a clear way to say it. They say you're going to get 70 virgins who are going to be perpetual virgins no matter what happens. That's all their religion really cares about. And Jesus says, no, our eternity is about glorifying God, not glorifying yourself. So. Different colors of skin. I think that's just the way, apparently, probably sometime. I did a study on this too. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think when you're with a limited number of people in a certain area, you're going to start to take on certain characteristics. Henry Morris, I have the book, The Genesis Record. He actually goes through where all the different nationalities and ethnic groups came from, which ones of Noah's sons and grandsons and great-grandsons they're all from. I do recall, must have been from 2007 when we went through Genesis on Sunday nights. That was a long time ago, but that book can be borrowed. I have. Pardon me? Well, they had to. I mean, Cain had to have married a sister, you know. But the genetic pool at that point was so diverse. If you do it now, there's going to be some genetic problems. That's why it's prohibited now. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just are thankful that your word touches and addresses some of the hottest and most debated topics of the day. And Lord, help us to be able to discuss these logically and biblically when people ask us. Lord, I go back to your word that says that we should always be ready to give an answer. That wouldn't just be regarding our salvation, Father. That would be regarding things like this racism talk and homosexuality and abortion. And Lord, when that path, when we come to that fork in the road and we have to discuss these things, give us the boldness to bring it up from a biblical point of view. In Jesus' name, amen.